the X-2, the Firefly, and optionally manned aircraft. Welcome to Sikorsky Innovations. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. At EAA AirVenture Oshkosh this year, the newly named GE Aviation Learning Center was devoted entirely to advances in electric propulsion. One of the most talked about displays was Sikorsky's Firefly electric helicopter concept. But for the last 2 years, Sikorsky has also been exciting rotorcraft enthusiasts with news of its X-2 technology demonstrator, a compound helicopter with coaxial rotors and a pusher prop that's already topped 200 knots and will soon make an assault on the 250 mark, which would also be a new rotorcraft record. The director of Sikorsky Innovations is Chris Van Buten, and ANN editor-in-chief Jim Campbell had the chance to get an update on all the company's projects, including its advanced active rotor control and optionally manned helicopter projects from Chris at AirVenture. We'll hear that conversation today.
Chris, obviously the big buzzword when it comes to innovations, and literally innovations in rotorcraft technology right now, has been all the excitement built up over X2. But X2 for Sikorsky is the tip of the iceberg. So let's talk X2 first, and where do you go from there?
X2 is one of many technologies we're maturing, as you mentioned. Adding to X2 is technologies in the area of making our helicopters aware and adaptive and making them optionally piloted.
What's the state of the X2 program at the moment? And if you can give us kind of a timeline for what you expect to do with that airframe and that project for the moment.
This year we hope to complete our 250-knot full envelope expansion. And we're at the very exciting phase.
Indeed. Now, as I understand, most of the development work is being done down in West Palm right now?
That's right. The prototype is in West Palm Beach, Florida. The build for the high-speed flight is completely done now. And it's going through testing of the final software and hardware changes we made for the high-speed flight. And we'll resume flight shortly.
250 knots is an incredible benchmark for anything with a rotor, much less a coaxial rotor and a pusher configuration. The modeling on this just must be absolutely extravagant. But what kind of benchmarks are you looking at from a technological standpoint that need to be either defeated or mollified in order to build a vehicle that's going to be able to breed a whole new generation of rotorcraft?
Right. Well, our goals in the X2 program are to not only demonstrate the 250 knots, but demonstrate efficiency in that cruise, the drag reduction technology in the X2 is applicable to a wide range of rotorcraft. We also need to demonstrate that we have a smooth ride at 250 knots. The original XH-59A demonstrator showed the physics at 250 knots, but didn't have an acceptable ride quality at 250 knots. The fly-by-wire flight controls, active vibration control, composite technology in the main rotor blades, new aerodynamics, we think stitched together in a nice way to achieve these goals.
Well, we've obviously seen a number of artist conceptions of where this technology might go from a standpoint of what an S-76E may look like in the future or something to that extent, or for that matter to military configurations. Are there any limits to that technology? Is this something that literally can go out and beat the V-22 at its own game?
Interesting. One of my favorite applications for it is to actually be a companion for the V-22, right? The current escort helicopter options, the attack helicopter, whether they're Cobra or Apache, struggle to keep up with a tilt rotor. An X-2 Cobra Apache replacement would actually have V-22 peer speed, or to be able to escort the aircraft, break off and mix it up on the ground with a very agile, you know, high-performance helicopter, which is a whole new combination of options not available to the warfighter today. The other one we're excited about is a light tactical helicopter for special ops. We've been shopping around a mock-up this year, which we call a 3D whiteboard, to get their feedback on what are their emerging requirements. But that basic vehicle moves six warfighters, very high speed, low acoustics, high agility, and the ability to hover in most of Afghanistan, right, to be able to assault the tops of the mountains instead of halfway up. And that's what Special Ops is really looking for. And we hope to have it also be an option for the armed aerial scout. The Defense Department has an interesting decision in front of them they've been challenging the rotorcraft industry. You've got to accelerate the rate of innovation and do new things. Will, in the armed aerial scout decision-making process, they choose to kind of stay the course with a commercial off-the-shelf derivative that, you know, can meet some of the needs, or introduce some game-changing technology with something like an X2 armed aerial scout light tactical helicopter? That's going to be really fun to watch.
The spec ops people must love you.
They're excited. And they're excited, one, because we're maturing the technology, two, because they are integrally involved in the design process of the vehicle, right? So the 3D whiteboard participation, right, they're designing the next generation light tactical helicopter.
Interesting. During the briefing the other day, we were looking at some of the diagrams and reports on active rotor technology. This is something that I haven't had a chance to study up on too much. I know you were working on it. Let's talk about that technology, because, boy, talk about something with tremendous potential, especially both from the remotely or optionally piloted vehicle side or for other standpoints. Talk about something that can truly civilize the worst of commercial operations.
Mm-hmm. Last year, we are excited about active rotor technology. Last year, we had two demonstrations in full scale. 40x80 wind tunnel test on a Blackhawk rotor with active pitch links that can change their length several times per revolution, dramatically decreasing noise and vibration, increasing performance. That was a great collaboration with ZFL in Germany and NASA. And as part of an AATD program, we've demonstrated an active flap on a full-scale blade. And the exciting thing there is it's not only the noise and vibration capability, but the technology we're pursuing could enable a path to a future swashplateless rotor, where each blade is literally individually controlled. There are several other active rotor technologies out there that are very limited authority. We're maturing a very high authority system.
In a moment, taking the UAV to a whole new level. More with ANN's Jim Campbell and Sikorsky Innovations' Chris Van Buten in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse Twin Engine Jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with Chris Van Buten of Sikorsky Innovations about several advanced projects the company has underway. We have manned helicopters, and we have unmanned helicopters, but Sikorsky is coming at the transition between the two in a unique way.
One of the things that kind of caught me by surprise was the way you were approaching the concept of remote or optionally piloted vehicles. Literally a vehicle that push a button, and it's set up for two pilots. Push another button, one, and push another button, literally zero pilot. That's kind of a real game changer, isn't it?
We think so. Adds a lot of flexibility to our customers and lets us focus our investments in technology maturation in something that adds value to the product very quickly. If we can start inserting some of the optionally piloted technology in steps, it helps the two-crewed helicopter right away. For example, give them automated in-flight refueling, where they fly up to the tanker, put a pipper on the drogue, say tank. It takes tremendous workload out of the flight crew, enables them to tank in instances where they might not otherwise be able to, and in the long run is helping our trajectory to the fully un, piloted aircraft. So that's just one example of many of functionality we deliver along the way. There's a lot of unmanned aircraft, right? That is the buzz, and they're doing really well in Afghanistan and Iraq. What you don't have yet is a 20,000-pound helicopter moving 8,000-pound payloads in and around the warfighter, the soldier, let alone civilians. We think that's going to bring the technology and the requirements kind of to a whole new level of redundancy, reliability, that we think our fly-by-wire Blackhawk creates the foundation to actually accomplish. Single-strand approach, even dual-redundant approach, not enough, right? Very high, the reliability that we think we'll have in our full authority fly-by-wire upgrade of Blackhawk is what we need to have the foundation for a fully autonomous and optionally piloted approach.
One of the things that Jeff Pino mentioned, which was an interesting thought at the time, especially for those, I mean, let's face it, the combat environment right now in Afghanistan is about as vicious as it gets in certain segments. But the fact that we might have an aircraft that literally can detect the health of the pilot and take over if for one reason or another, biometrically or otherwise, says the pilot's either out or not capable of flying, or for that matter, has other issues to deal with at the time. It's talk about science fiction coming to roost.
That's right. On the M upgrade aircraft today, if the pilot lets go of the sticks, the helicopter automatically goes to straight and level, holds altitude, airspeed. In fact, that today gives the flight crew just a chance to catch up, right? If they get severely disoriented, have another workload issue they have to deal with, the helicopter will take care of itself. So that's the first step. Imagine now adding functionality to that all the way to an auto return home function, where you have an incapacitated flight crew, 11 warfighters in the back, and the helicopter makes it home. Right now, the helicopter will stabilize and give them time. We have the technology path to let the helicopter make it all the way home.
Well, one of the things that's interesting from my standpoint is that we've just come out of a year of a terrible economy. When most major manufacturers are figuring out how to cut the bottom line, the first thing that goes is R&D. R&D at this point is just, you know, it's right on the altar, right off the bat, sacrifice, gone, bye-bye. Whereas, obviously, Sikorsky has really put a tremendous amount of not just money, but talent into the R&D process. How big a sale was that to the boss?
We are fortunate to have a president who's a master Army aviator, who's passionate about vertical flight, and who understands the value of differentiation, how essential it is. There are more and more companies that can make a decent helicopter. There are very few that could make one effectively optionally piloted, and there are perhaps one that can make a helicopter that'll fly 250 knots. So that ability for Sikorsky to differentiate itself is absolutely essential to our future. So in that respect, the sell wasn't too hard, and we feel really fortunate about that. There's tremendous advocacy for Sikorsky Innovations and investing in it, doing the X2 technology demonstrator fully on our own nickel, and that provides us a lot of flexibility and energy. In some cases, we can run a lot faster on some of these projects by just staying focused and doing it ourselves with a really small team. In other cases, we really enjoy cost sharing with our government technology customers to collaborate with them to bring new technology to bear.
What else might be on the plate for Sikorsky Innovations? Anything else you might tip us to?
Right.
We have a couple projects that we don't talk about much. One is called Firefly. Firefly is a neat one that, there's no more detail on that, but, stay tuned. The theme of going from concepts to flight and demonstrating things in flight is what you're going to see more and more of this year. Whether it's X2 flights, optionally piloted demonstrations, maybe we'll see some Firefly stuff this year. It's very exciting. I wish we could talk about more, but we're not going to right now.
Well, Chris, I have to tell you, when it comes to rotorcraft, the rotorcraft industry and excitement right now, there's nothing that's generated as much buzz as Sikorsky has over the last couple of years, especially out of X2 and now for other reasons.
If you're a rotorcraft person and this isn't firing you up and getting you excited, you don't have a pulse. And we're going to bring an EMT in here and check you out because something's badly wrong.
Thanks again. We're looking forward to getting a chance to see an X2 workout down in West Palm sometime soon.
Great. Appreciate it. It's an exciting time.
Chris Van Buten is the director of Sikorsky Innovations. Find out more about the company's projects on the web at Sikorsky.com. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.